Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Herbie, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Anthony Herron.
All we got to do is do our job and punch him in the mouth every single play.
Bears Monday with Big Ant.
One of the offensive linemen from Indiana just starts like kind of ramming my face in the ground, basically in the midst of a pile of bodies. And, you know, in his mind, like, nobody's going to see me doing this. All right, I'm going to get away with this a little bit. So I, with my dexterity that I have and the flexibility, I rear back while my face is in the ground, and I just kick him in the chest. So all the officials see is a big Hoosier body flying backwards, and my foot being the reason why.
He gave me some kind of Bruce Lee cross kick or something.
I kicked
Sirius XM and Fox 32 football analysts.
They have no idea what goaded me into doing that. So I end up getting ejected from the game because I kicked this dude in the chest and he goes flying.
Now that you mention it, I think I'm bleeding inside my chest.
Anthony Herron and Lawrence Holmes on 670 The Score.
It's a must-win Monday here on The Score, talking about the Bears and the Vikings. You can watch this handsome fellow on the Twitch stream right now if you want. Twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. Thanks to everyone, by the way, that has kind of been a part of this whole thing that we're doing with the station on Twitch. It's been pretty cool. And in fact, I got to tell you, tonight, halftime, I'm going to be on the Score's Twitch stream. We are going to have ourselves a good time, and we are going to talk about what we saw in the first half. But when you're watching after the game, you can watch Big Ant Herron on Fox 32 because they do a whole post game and it's all good. He has 110 million jobs, and one of them is to be our analyst on this show. So we're happy that he's here joining me on the Al Pomani Ford Hotline. Al Pomani Ford has 500 new and used vehicles for you to choose from out Melrose Park, or you just go to alpomaniford.com. Big Ant, how are you, sir?
Lo ho. Doing well. A lot of TV and radio and a whole lot of stuff happening today leading into Monday Night Football. Got some Big Ten later this evening. Got all kind of stuff cooking, man. But I cannot wait to see what this squad will do on this stage this time with this dude calling plays. A whole lot of this-ing to be happening. But I'm looking forward to this. I think the storylines are intriguing from that standpoint. So I'm actually genuinely excited to see this one tonight.
Okay, so let's discuss this. What difference do you think, if any, we will see with Bill Lazor calling plays versus Matt Nagy?
I think the differences will be limited, if any. There's only so much you can do to reinvent your system, as it were, once you get to this point in the season. I mean, we're at the halfway point of the year, and you didn't have an offseason to kind of go into a deep install with any of the new bodies and young guys anyway. And really, the young guys who were on the field for you is because they showed enough acumen to be able to pick things up with the limited way that you were able to do install. But I don't think we're going to see, like, you know, a different grouping of personnel. I don't think we're going to see drastically different plays than we've seen before. What you can, I think, legitimately, plausibly hope for is that the scripting of plays, the sequencing of plays will be more cohesive, that it will seem throughout the game like what was being run earlier will some, it will in some ways be built on later in the game. If there was something that you used a ghost motion to show something and you read the way that the coverage rolled because of that, then you can come back to it later in the game. If you notice that the three-step game is doing something in particular, even if it's not leading to big run after catch, but perhaps the way the defense is overreacting to that will set you up to fake one way and then come back to, you know, perhaps a tight end screen on the opposing side of the field. Some version of sequencing of plays that seems cohesive in the manner that sets you up for further success later in the game, and that perhaps that even feels planned out beforehand as opposed to maybe being reactionary. It feels to me in game like too frequently Matt Nagy was perhaps either reactionary in a way that didn't seem suitable or didn't go back to, and this is sort of looking at the scope of his time in calling plays here in Chicago, doesn't frequently enough go back to what was working previously in the game. I haven't had as much of an issue with that this year like I've referenced to you before, but overall the difficulty will be the fact that, at least my opinion, that nothing has been working for the Bears offense. That will continue to be a problem with how you properly sequence it until you actually do find some core, some identity, like the Bears keep talking about, that gives you something to build off of. There just hasn't been enough for the play callers to build off of to really try and enhance how you attack your opponent schematically.
I listened to Matt Nagy on Friday talk about this decision to turn things over to Bill Lazor. And I thought that one of the points that he made was really good, and I'm kind of looking forward to that. The point that he made was, this will give me an opportunity to focus on other things. And I think that there's some value in, if we buy into the idea of Matt Nagy as Bears CEO on the sidelines, this gives him a chance to do some of that stuff, to manage the clock better, to coach players better, where if there is something that he doesn't like that's happening, he can actually go talk to a player because he's not worried about the next sequence or the next actual play call to get in. Is that fantasy? That I think that matters, or is there a world where he might become a better head coach with not having that on his plate?
I certainly hope he does, you know, because there are a lot of things about Matt Nagy that I like, just within the way he handles his players and handles the media, handles personnel. I think you can make the case that there are things in game that as a head coach he has handled well enough. Certainly imperfect, but, you know, not everybody's Belichick, so I think there's a lot of dudes who kind of mess up some things with clock management or timeouts or what have you, or seem hesitant or uncertain at certain moments. So all that to me is just, it's sort of a part of the story of being a head coach in the league and in a sport like football where there's so much that goes into it. But I think for Matt Nagy, I definitely think there's potential for growth here. I think we can see what the frailties have been in his management of the Bears offense and even at times in how he's run things as a head coach, while still seeing that there feels like there's potential for him to be better, for him to be more. If nothing else, the desire for that, and I believe what the recognition of it, I think that matters, because you do, whether you're the head coach of a professional sports team, if you're the president of the United States, I think there are certain jobs where you got to have a big ego, you got to be super confident in yourself to even think you can handle that. So I've never at all questioned whether or not Matt Nagy is confident in his abilities, what the execution has been, what the decision-making has been, what the lack of cohesion that there seemed to be at times with the concepts and how they don't always seem to conjoin with his offense. That to me is certainly worthy of question, but it's okay if he improves on that. I definitely think there is legitimate potential for him to improve on those things. And if he does, then while the Bears personnel isn't stellar, especially on the line of scrimmage right now with the way their O-line's been beat up, you can look at a whole bunch of teams around the National Football League that have personnel that's just as mediocre as where the Bears are at certain spots, if not worse. And they still, in the modern National Football League, find ways to move the ball, find ways to put points on the board. And so even if it's as simple as Matt Nagy, while he's still got the big whistle, doesn't have to worry about the snap-by-snap of things, and he can get in Nick Foles' ear and say, Nick, climb the damn pocket vertically. Stop retreating backwards over and over again. Step into your pass. You had time to do that. He'll have the potential to do that more in tonight's game than he has at any other time that he's been the head coach of the Chicago Bears, because he can stand back and take a more thousand-foot view of things and not only observe those in real time, but be able to communicate them to individual players in real time.
You've had a chance to watch Kirk Cousins for a long time. Why hasn't he – well, I should rephrase this. Has he reached his potential? And if he is not, what's keeping him from reaching it?
When you look at the Vikings this season, if I'm not mistaken, the three games they've won this year have been the three lowest pass attempt games for Kirk Cousins this season.
You are correct. He hasn't thrown more than 25 times in a game that they've won.
And with that as the case, I think that Kirk Cousins, I think individually, I think, yes, I believe he's reached his ceiling. I think he's reached his potential. That doesn't mean that the squad itself has maxed out, though, because the thing that's so underappreciated about long-term success in the National Football League, man, is the guys who do it well week in and week out, season in and season out, your Drew Breeses of the world and Tom Brady's and Peyton, you know, these are all-time greats we're talking about, but, you know, whether you throw Russell Wilson in that mix, throw now if we're getting a few seasons of Pat Mahomes, it is hard to be that consistent playing at that level over a long period of time. And even in the scope of one season where there will be a week here and there where Kirk Cousins will go 20 out of 30 for 325 yards, three tugs, no picks. He just has never proven to be able to be that guy every single week. So tonight could be a game potentially where you get the best of Kirk Cousins, but to have the ability to be that mentally dialed in, that locked into what your opponent is doing, what you believe yourself capable of doing, to be at the height of, frankly, like the height of your machismo, that you got the stones to throw certain balls into tight windows on occasion, all those things that are required to max out everything you do in the National Football League, Kirk Cousins just isn't consistently there, not only physically, but just the mental and emotional aspect of what it takes to be elite in a game, let alone every single game for 16 games, let alone for years in a decade of doing that. So I think we may be seeing the best of Kirk Cousins individually. Doesn't mean the Vikings can't necessarily be better with him at quarterback, but is he the guy who can by himself lift up the rest of the franchise? No, he has never been that. And at this point, I think it is more than fair to say he will never be that. But it doesn't mean somebody can't look at Kirk Cousins, whether it's Minnesota moving forward with him beyond this season, or some other squad saying, you know what, that's an upgrade for us, and we think we have infrastructure that can work around a Kirk Cousins to Flacco or Eli our way to a Super Bowl, and we'll make it work. So I think the guy's a good quarterback. He's not an elite quarterback, but he is a good quarterback. The Bears will certainly be better off with Kirk Cousins as their quarterback than either of the guys who started for them this season.
Okay, that's fair. So let's talk about your notes. If going into this game, what's the thing that concerns you the most about the Vikings?
Well, offensively, what they have the potential to do with Dalvin Cook is certainly worthy of concern. I think specifically the aspects of his game that are more similar to Alvin Kamara, you know, I've described him as sort of a combination of a couple of the recent excellent running backs the Bears have seen lately, where he can run it up in there. He can run through the smoke. He can bring some power, some pop like Derrick Henry. Also, though, he can be a highly effective pass receiver, and he's got some wiggle to him both in the hole and some burst out in space like you get from an Alvin Kamara. So I don't think the Vikings, if they want to operate with the game plan where it's going to be Dalvin Cook 25-plus carries and just sort of, you know, out-man, out-muscle the Bears, that ain't going to get it. But if it's going to be let's give him enough Dalvin Cook, but also find ways, as the Saints did, to get – you know, it may not be 100 receiving yards like Kamara almost got, but if it's, you know, 5 to 7 catches and it ends up being 60 to 70 yards and they find ways to match him up schematically when you have an outside linebacker or defensive end, if you have a Quinn or a Mack and catch them in coverage on Dalvin Cook, or you split him out and say, Roquan Smith has been excellent in pass coverage, but we like our matchup there. And we trust Cousins to be on time and in rhythm because we know they're in man and we're going to take this opportunity here. They can do those things with Cook, not to the extent that the Saints can with Kamara. But overall, I think the Bears' best bet, while Jefferson has been spectacular against man coverage, and there's going to be some shot plays attempted, I think the Bears are going to show some man coverage, and they're going to at times leave Fuller or Johnson on an island and trust them against the rookie and just see what they've got, and the Vikings may make a play or two off of that. I don't think that will necessarily be sustainable for the Vikings to just overwhelm the Bears because Cousins is going to carve them up with the deep ball. I'm most concerned with Dalvin Cook and whether or not only because the Bears' run game has been leaky and them just turning around handing it to him over and over again, I feel like the Bears' defense and what we've seen from them lately, I think they're going to show up well enough to not let Dalvin Cook, the runner, defeat them single-handedly behind that old line. It's Dalvin Cook, the pass receiver, that worries me as much as anything.
That's right, for Dalvin. Big Ant, as always, I appreciate your time. Have fun tonight on the show after the game is done.
Loho, appreciate you, my friend. I will certainly do that. I'm going to tune in for your Twitch, too.
Yes, we are going to be on the Twitch at halftime. I usually throw it out there for people on Twitter where I go, what's your feelings in GIF form? I'm going to also just jump on and let people vent and have a little fun and talk to the folks. So,
have you made a flat-out prediction yet?
No, I don't usually do that.
Okay, yeah, I was going
to
say.
I'm still used to not doing that from when I was reporting because – The last thing you wanted when you were when you're covering a team is to be, well, you said we was going to lose.
Right.
Like, I never want
what's
to
your,
deal
what's
with
your
that.
Feeling? What is your feeling about tonight's game? Does it feel like a game where they answer the bell in general?
I feel like both of these teams are in a place where
they both need it, right? A loss ends them.
Like, I was saying this to Matthew Collar in the last segment. I think that organizational changes could happen to the team that loses this game.
Mm.
So
that
to me,
gravity to it. Yeah.
I like the desperation that I'm seeing from Matt Nagy. Mm-hmm. I like that he was like, okay, I've eliminated all of the things in trying to figure out what's wrong with my offense. Maybe it's me. So I'm going to take me out of the picture and I'm going to hand things over to Bill Lazor.
And that's a big deal, man. That is a really big deal. That's not easy for someone in his position to do.
It's a big deal, and I would like to give him credit for it. I probably feel better about this game than the previous three because I thought that they were gonna lose all three of those games, but we'll see. I'm interested in this game because I'm with you. The leaky run defense, the chunk plays in the run game, that scares me because this is the type of guy, and if the Vikings can get from Cook what they need, then they can do what they like to do with Kirk Cousins, which is run play action, where he's most effective as a passer.
Right.
The Bears went out and they stopped Derrick Henry last week for the most part. They're going to need a special type of effort to stop this guy. So that's I would say that I'm feeling more optimistic than I have over the last month about the Bears. But damn, they still have only scored 16 points a game over the last three.
I don't
care
how inexperienced that Viking secondary is, what personnel has been out or young or lacking, the Bears offense needs to show something before I have faith in it. And if I see it tonight, that's going to be great. But if I see it tonight, it's going to be the first time I've seen it in a while, regardless of who's across from them. So it's an answer the bell moment for this offense.
I agree. Big Ant, be well, sir.
Loho, you got it, bud.
That is Anthony Heron. Watch him on Fox 32 once the game is over. Listen to him on The Score like all the time. And tonight, halftime, I'm going to be on Twitch, on The Score's Twitch, okay? Twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. You can watch the rest of the show. I'm still on it right now. But this is the place where you can watch me at halftime. I'm just going to jump on and say stuff and hang out with you for the halftime. All right? We're going to take a break. What should you bet tonight? Is there anything that's interesting as far as bets go? Joe Ostrowski joins me to tell you next here on The Score.
What's up, Joe? What's up?
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station. Host of Radio.com's Bet Sweats, Joe Ostrowski, nights on The Score.
You'd probably be floored. A crappy Thursday night football game, Jaguars and Dolphins. If we were to compare the money bet on that game against Lakers and Nuggets last night, it's not even close.
The best gambling analyst in the country. Wanna bet?
I'm Jordan with the mic. Wanna gamble?
Joe Ostrowski on the Lawrence Holmes Show right damn now.
Yep, this is what we do. Bears are playing on an island. I get Joe Ostrowski the day of, and I get an opportunity to talk with him. He joins me now on the Al Pamani Ford Hotline. Al Pamani Ford has 500 new and used vehicles for you to choose from out in Melrose Park, or you can just go to alpamaniford.com. He is the host of Bet Sweats, which you can hear Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. until 11 a.m. on the radio.com app. Early odds, 8 a.m. on Saturdays on The Score. Joe0670 is where you can find him on Twitter. Joseph, how are you today?
Lawrence, I have a question for the people. We're supposed to be practicing social distancing, and I get that, and I try to do that as much as possible when in public. But does that also mean that you need to practice social distancing with your animal? Because every time I just want to go for a little jog on the path in the neighborhood, this is the last two times, Lawrence. Last week it was Grandpa that didn't want to have the leash on his dog, so I'm jogging along, and then I've got to bolt as fast as I possibly can at this stage in my life. And then it was today as I'm getting to the end of the path. Wait, is that a coyote? Is that a dog? There's a leash dragging along. There's no human anywhere. Please, please, please stop this. We don't need to practice social distancing with our animals. And I'm not going to say what I was thinking quickly through my mind, what I wanted to do to these two dogs when I saw them. I don't want to upset PETA or some of our fine listeners at all, but I have a feeling what Herb Lawrence would say. And I would have been in trouble. It would have been a whole mess. So please, can't we just, walking your dog? Fine. Get your exercise. It's good for all of us. Get some fresh air. We need it. Leash. It's not that hard.
It's very, it's something that I run into as someone who doesn't, I've never owned pets. I'm not a pet owner.
In
people
the city?
Think that your their pet is going to react to you the same way that they react to their owner. And that's not it. Like, don't, Don't tell me that your dog is well behaved. Of course your dog's well behaved when it's you. You're the person that gives him food. I'm some random black guy that's coming over to your house and it's going to jump on top of me, and I don't want the dog to jump on top of me, so leave me alone.
That's, I haven't run that fast in a while, man. I am impressed.
I am impressed that you didn't pop a hammy like I did when I was out here doing 40-yard dashes last week. So, all right, let's try to get the people some money on this. What's interesting from Bears-Vikings tonight? Is there anything that's got you like, maybe you might want to go this way on it?
Yeah, there is. And I'll be honest, there's not a lot of weeks that I have a strong opinion on a Bears game. And, you know, take it for what it's worth. But here's the information that I'm looking at as far as tonight goes. 1 week ago, when we looked at the line for this game, the look-ahead line before the Bears lost to the Titans, and what was it, the Lions last week? Yeah, the Lions, the Vikings won that game for another divisional win. That line was set as the Bears, the favorite, -2. And so I'm watching the Bears not moving the football again. They can't move the chains at all. You know, we've been witnessing this over the last couple of years against a bad defense. And I'm thinking, okay, what they're going to do is they're going to probably make this at least a pick'em. But Lawrence, what I did not expect is for them to go, forget the Bears as a favorite. Forget the pick'em. We're going to make the Vikings as road favorites on Monday night. And they set it at 2.5. And a couple days ago, it went to 3. And now we're sitting here on Monday, hours away from the game, Lawrence, and it has gone past the key number of 3, which takes a lot of money to move the market past 3. And it is now Vikings at 3.5. So in a sample size of 1 game, without a quarterback change or injury, the market has moved this point spread 5.5 points, which blows my mind. Now, there are some dead numbers around 0, but to make not only the Vikings the favorite, but north of a field goal, I thought was absolutely amazing. There are 2 other times this year the Bears have been 3.5-point underdogs, okay? And they were both at home. It was to Indianapolis and to Tampa Bay. This is such an overreaction. Minnesota is not with Indianapolis and Tampa Bay. And, you know, if you believe in like fantasy football or financial advice, buy low, sell high, this is the spot. If you follow that, buy low, sell high with the market, that's where we are with this market. The Bears are at the low point right now, according to the market, and the Vikings are at the high point after winning a couple of games. Let's look at their 3 wins, Lawrence. The Vikings' 3 wins, Houston, Green Bay, Detroit. Not one of those teams can play defense. So if the Vikings are going to win, it's going to come down to Kirk Cousins. I know we're talking a lot about Dalvin Cook, and we should. But I think for them to win, they're going to need Kirk Cousins to have success in a spot where he hasn't had a lot of success in prime time. We all know 0-9 Monday Night Football. But more importantly than all of that narrative stuff, it's against this elite Bears pass defense. Maybe they're not an elite defense. Maybe they're not top 5, but they are top 10. I'll tell you, against the pass, they're as good as it gets.
I am intrigued by that, like that type of movement. And you're right. I think that it's a reaction, and it's probably an overreaction. I know that people hear that and be like, well, you guys have been telling us how bad the Bears offense is. Yes, but we haven't been telling you that the Vikings are good. Like, no one here has been making the argument that the Vikings are good. They do have a great running back that's dangerous, and you have to contain him. But other than that, I don't fear a lot going into this game with them, and it's strange that the number would move as much as it did.
They do have an explosive offense at times, but again, they've done that against teams that can't play defense. The passing game has been explosive with the rookie Jefferson and Thielen. And of course, Dalvin Cook, you know, back-to-back weeks, pretty interesting that the Bears are going against the NFL's rushing leader. And I would tell you that it's easy to make that comp. Oh, you did a great job with Henry. What about Dalvin Cook? Those guys are 2 very different running backs. And that's what would scare me off of playing the under on Dalvin Cook. He can absolutely bust one. And we've talked about at times how this Bears defense can give up chunk runs. They have that explosive offense, but we haven't seen it against a good defense. And I can't go with the Cousins under prop, Lawrence, because the markets have taken this into account and they're putting the passing yards for Cousins only at 227 and a half. If they're trailing, I mean, they're going to keep passing and maybe the Bears give them some stuff underneath. So that number is really low to me. I can't go under. I got to tell you, I don't usually have a strong play on Bears games, but I think this is a good spot getting more than a field goal at home to take the Bears.
Okay. I don't know if I was expecting you to say that, but the case that you laid out is a good one because it really doesn't make a lot of sense. But I guess we'll find out which one of these teams is better. I just don't see it being the Vikings being so much better that the line movement is so drastic. Speaking of which,
Let me add one more quick thing. A lot of people bet teasers. So this is one of the lowest totals of the week. So with teasers, you pick usually two sides and you can move the line 6 points. If you want to tease the Bears up to +9.5, I would advocate for that. And then you could pair it with another side coming up on Thursday or next weekend if you'd like. I don't see this being a blowout in favor of Minnesota. So if you're not sure about the Bears +3.5, I mean, +9.5 looks pretty good.
It does. It looks really good. So yesterday I'm watching Red Zone. Like I was joking about that earlier, how I was back on that narcotic of watching Red Zone. And then I get to Sunday night and I'm watching the Sunday night game and I'm enjoying some of that. Looking at what happened late afternoon yesterday, I've already seen some numbers. I'm like, wait, what? Did the MVP race change as far as betting odds go yesterday?
Oh, man. We talked about this a little bit on Friday and how the odds told us there are three players in the race, with Russell Wilson leading the way, Pat Mahomes in second, Aaron Rodgers in third. Then a distant fourth was Kyler Murray, and he was like 25 or 28 to 1. The exact number that he was, Lawrence, before the season started. Then we got Murray magic once again. Not the first time we've seen it. It happened again. So we have a three-way tie atop the NFC West, by far the best division in the NFL, and we have an exciting game coming up this Thursday, Arizona against Seattle. So that's going to have big implications when it comes to the MVP race. But Kyler Murray is back in the race. Russ, no longer the favorite. Oh, was that ugly yesterday? Russ is no longer the favorite.
That interception that he threw in the end zone was, it's hard for me to believe that he threw it. That's how bad it was.
The expectation was coming off a loss, you would see a much different Seahawks offense. And by the way, the Rams could have put up a lot more if they wanted to. They just stopped passing in the second half. I mean, Goff had about 300 yards very early in the second half. They could have kept playing that way, but they just wanted to get out of there with a victory. Mahomes didn't play, and he became the favorite this weekend. Mahomes is +175. Russ is the second favorite, +220. Rodgers is still +300 after a poor game against the Jaguars. And here's Kyler Murray, all of a sudden in the race at +750. Lawrence, if Arizona wins this division, with all the chatter about Murray and the excitement around him, the way they're winning games, there's going to be a strong case to be made that Murray is the MVP with everything he adds to the offense. And on the ground, too. Lamar Jackson, that was a big reason that he won it last year because of all the yards on the ground and what how he can just flip a game. What an amazing performance from Murray and, of course, Hopkins. Going to his left, Lawrence, too.
That's the other amazing part of that play. And that it wasn't, he didn't drift to his left. It's one thing if a guy's drifting to his left and balancing himself for a throw like that. He was on a dead run, and he was able to flip his hips and launch it 55 yards. Yeah. If you're in Houston and you're watching that, you're just going, we should have fired that guy way before we fired him, because it makes no sense to take the best receiver off of a team with a young quarterback. It's ridiculous. And I love seeing him succeed, because everyone, like every fan that saw that trade was like, what? That is stupid. Why are the Texans doing that? And now you're seeing DeAndre Hopkins squire along a young quarterback that both those guys can get together and make incredible plays like yesterday.
Lawrence, I think we can tie this into the Bears. I somehow landed on this Kyler Murray conversation, and I ended up talking about the Bears a couple of different ways. One, I respect that organization so much because they invested a very high draft pick in Josh Rosen. After 1 year, they're like, he ain't it. Now let's go get a real quarterback. They made that evaluation right away. They didn't need to see 40 plus starts and a lot of failure like we saw here in Chicago. That's one point. And the other point is, when the Bears have gone out and added their quarterback, it's got to be the quarterback that fits Matt Nagy's system, just because. It's got to be a specific type of quarterback. What the best coaches are doing, and you could bring Arizona into this conversation, maybe Tua with Miami, because I think Flores is fantastic. And he should be the coach of the year. Building your offense around the quarterback, correct, with Baltimore last year. Building your offense. What do they do best? Okay, let's build the offense around them. It's the days of you must be this tall. You must run this in the 40. You've got to hit this throw. Those days are really gone, and we're seeing the creativity with some of the offense that is being brought from the college level to the pros. That is one frustrating point about Matt Nagy. It seems like it's got to be the guy that can fit his system instead of just going out and adding some talent and then working around that.
Joe, I'm going to save this story about the Suns for Friday because I do want to talk to you about it. It's amazing where we have come in the last 12 months when it comes to connections to gambling. But I'll save that until Friday. Joe, thanks a lot. You can listen to Joe on Bet Sweats every day on the radio.com app, 9 to 11, and early odds on the score, 8 a.m. on Saturday mornings. Check out Joe on Twitter at Joe0670. He's giving you running commentary along with the best betting advice that you can find in the world. Thank you, sir. I'll talk to you soon. Look out for them dogs out there.
I will. I hope the Bears don't disappoint me tonight because I'll be insufferable on Twitter.
That is true. That is Joe Ostrowski. We need to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about the Bears and desperation. We'll do that next here on The Score.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
I brought up the word desperate earlier, and I don't mean it as a pejorative. I kind of like it. One of the things that we ask coaches to do that they tell us that they're doing in their press, we're doing everything, we're looking at everything possible to try and get this team a win. Well, it's taken the Bears offense being bad for a year and a half and them losing three games in a row for Matt Nagy to give up play calling duties. I don't expect this to be a magic bullet, I truly don't, but I do think that having a pair of fresh eyes on the Bears offense is a better way to go than continuing to go on this path that the Bears have been on. And Nagy being an adult enough to look and say, all right, maybe it is me. We can find out that it's not over the next couple games of Bill Lazor calling the plays. And Nagy did say that this is not necessarily permanent. But I give him credit. Here's why he's desperate. Since 2002... only 32% of the teams with 5-5 records have made the playoffs. And that's courtesy of Kevin Fishbane of The Athletic, who broke down the numbers on all of this. If ever there was a time for a coach to try something new, to try to get out of the rut that his team is in, this is the time. And there are prouder men who would have not have stepped aside and would have had another bad offensive game. So my hat's off to Matt Nagy. It's stuff like this that makes me like him. And it's weird. One of the things I wrote down last week is it okay for me to like Matt Nagy, even though I don't necessarily like the way that he's coaching? I hope it works out for him. It's a ballsy move, and I appreciate that. Talk with Spiegel and Parkins next here on The Score.
Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.